Welcome back. We've got a great pleasure today. We're revisiting a former author that we've had on before. Visiting today with Tim Irwin, who is the author of a new book called Derailed. Tim, thanks so much for joining us once again here on the program.
Jay, it's great to be with you.
Tell us about this book. What caused you to come up with this topic, Tim?
Jay, I've been a student of leadership in a formal way, the last 20 years. And one of the things I've noticed is that there are things that make people successful, but as importantly, there are things that make people fail at leadership. And nothing has been written on that in quite a while, and so I wanted to address this topic, very important topic, about what makes people get fired from their jobs and how not to be.
Well, in this book, you chronicle the collapse of six rather infamous CEOs from the business world, and these are all names we've all read in all the big magazines and all the newspapers. Did you feel like this was airing somebody else's dirty laundry, or was there real lessons here for us?
Well, Jay, that's a great question, and let me say just first that I have tremendous respect for these individuals. I mean, they're very accomplished, they're very competent, they're strong-minded, they're tough. I mean, these are people that have been very successful in the corporate world, but candidly, at the end of the day, they were fired by their boards. And so what was of interest to me was why. And I discovered that there were very similar reasons that these individuals were fired. So I wrote the book not to disparage them, but rather to see what we could learn for our own careers. Because ultimately, this book is really not about those six CEOs. It's about us. And we can derail for the very same reasons that those six CEOs did.
Well, and that's a great point, and that was a point that was made by Patrick Lencioni, who wrote the foreword to your book, who's also been a guest on our program, and it really is about us. It really is about what are those leadership characteristics, and character being the operative word there. So what kinds of things did you find out that were similar among these failed executives?
Well, Joe, you touched on one of them, and one of the things that I discovered, and toward the end of the book, I have a chapter called Five Lessons Learned, and in that book, I try and explain in just a gritty manner what these people really reflected. And the first and perhaps most important thing is that character trumps competence. In other words, you can be very competent in your job, but that's not why people tend to get failed. It's not because of reasons of competence. It's because of reasons of character. And so I identified four dimensions of character. And I'm not talking, by the way, about character in the sense of being dishonest and committing fraud or stealing money from the company. I ruled out individuals who had experienced that. And, of course, there have been many in the recent years. But I tried to identify individuals who would fail for character in the broader sense. And when I say the broader sense, I'm talking about arrogance or being dismissive of other people or volatile or something else of that sort.
You know, that arrogance really came up, I noticed, as a very strong theme through this book, because these folks didn't rise to the level that they had by being not good at their jobs. They actually were quite good executives.
That's exactly right, and most of them had brilliant histories of success in doing a lot of different jobs. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they fail because of these character reasons. And by the way, character was the underlying theme. In the book, I say that arrogance is the mother of all derailers. And it's a very common theme, this arrogance, because it makes people blinded. It's a terminal case of certainty, if you will.
What other kinds of characteristics did you find that were common in their failure?
Well, I found that character was expressed among these derailers. It tended to be in one of four categories or multiple categories, but one was authenticity. In other words, being real, being who you really are. And those who fail to manifest that authenticity had this lack of genuineness. They weren't open. They were defensive. And people tend not to trust a leader who's not authentic. By the way, studies have been done that have shown that the number one characteristic that people are looking for in their leaders is a sense of trust. They really want to trust their leaders, and when the leader's not authentic, they don't trust the leader. Another reason was a lack of self-management, often volatility, a failure to regulate their own emotions and behavior. Another was a lack of humility. We talked already about arrogance, and that shows up in a lot of ways, being self-focused, self-promoting. One individual in particular seemed to always be promoting herself versus promoting the well-being of the company.
Even before you said herself, I knew exactly who you're talking about.
Well, she's recognized for that. She was recognized for being a brilliant marketer and salesperson, but not really helping the company come together in a sense of focused on the success of the company. And the final thing was an odd one in some ways. It was a bit of a surprise to me, but it was a failure of courage. And it was the way that the lack of courage showed up in these individuals was being conflict avoidant or over-controlling, micromanaging, being perfectionistic. These are the kinds of characteristics that tended to show up in these people who reflected a lack of courage.
You know, part of my question here is around who hired these folks. Obviously, these are long, drawn-out hiring based on past performance. It's based on just all kinds of things, name recognition. Are they capable of doing the job? But the kinds of things that you just mentioned, how do you flesh those out in an interview situation? How do you find out if a person is authentic?
Well, that's a great question, and I find that most interviews are not worth a whole lot. Candidly, somebody can look good for an hour or even a couple hours. One of the things I do in my practice is when I'm asked by a client company to interview a prospective executive, I conduct a long interview, sometimes 3 hours, because I find that people are always who they are, especially under stress. And a long interview creates stress for people. And I find that people are often not very thorough in their screening methods of these people that are very high up. I mean, Bob Nardelli had been on Jack Welch's team for a number of years. He was very successful in running a division or two of GE. And when he was passed over for the position at GE when Jack Welch retired, he was snapped up by Home Depot. And for very good reasons. I mean, I think the board had every reason to believe that they needed somebody with Nardelli's discipline and focus and systems and so on to come in and help strengthen the discipline of Home Depot. It had been founded and run by these entrepreneurs, and they needed to rein in cost. What they didn't bank on was how arrogant Nardelli would be.
Our guest is Tim Irwin. He's the author of the new book, Derailed, Five Lessons Learned from Catastrophic Failures of Leadership. You know, it's a fascinating book, and it really has a lot of application. But as you said, it's not just about these six people and these six hiring failures, because I do put a certain amount of that on the people that hire them. But it is about us. So what are the lessons that we can learn as leaders here, Tim?
Jay, one of the things that I think is important that you've already alluded to, and that is that ultimately this book is not about case studies or about six famous leaders. It's really about us, because we derail for the very same reasons that these CEOs did. One of the things in creating this book, I decided to put a free assessment on my website. And the free assessment measures a person's risk. And I encourage people to go to the website. It's free. It's derailedleader.com. And there's an assessment there. It's very quick. You get a rating on those four dimensions that I mentioned earlier. And it helps the individual to say, hey, where am I at risk? Because really, we're all at risk. One of the people I quoted in my book said that you can spend a lifetime building a reputation and destroy it in 5 minutes. And that's absolutely true, because sometimes I find we fail to regulate what we're going to say. I talk to people all the time who say, gee, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I could reel that back in. And that's a function of character. It's about self-regulation.
I think that it has applications all over the place, and not just in business, but also in politics. And I know that you have probably taken a bit of time to look at the current leadership in Washington. What are some of the things that you are seeing, at least on the early stages, that shows which way they're leaning toward in their leadership skills?
Jay, that's a great question, and I guess a caveat I would give right at the very outset is, look, I'm not a political analyst, and so I'm not a student of politics, but I am a student of leadership, and you have to ask yourself, as we look at leaders in Washington and governors of states and so on, you have to ask yourself, are these people showing some of the same derailment symptoms that these corporate leaders? And I think you have to conclude yes. I mean, you look at Mark Sanford, governor of South Carolina. I mean, some of the kind of boneheaded things he did, telling people he was on the Appalachian Trail when in fact he was having an inappropriate relationship with someone else than his wife. And, you know, you look at the voters just fired John Corzine last week. I mean, and he was notorious for his arrogance and his dismissiveness of people. So you look at these leaders on both sides of the political spectrum. I mean, regardless of their specific political views, whether conservative or liberal, we see these evidences of the derailers. And I think, as you said so well, Jay, these lessons learned, no matter what you do, whether You are a CEO, or you're an executive in a company, or a pastor, or a leader of a committee, or anything. These principles have direct relevance to you.
Is there one more lesson that you can give us today, Tim, before we leave you? I mean, it's just a fascinating book. The stories have played out all over the pages of the business sections and the magazines, and they're great lessons. But what's the one lesson that you'd like everybody to take home today?
Jay, I think the lesson that I would love for people to be aware of is that derailment is not inevitable. But without careful attention to our own development, it is probable. And so I think the important thing is that we take this very seriously, and that we become a student of ourselves, and we become a student of what the leadership requirements are, the characteristics of strong leaders, and that we pay attention to that, and that we recognize that derailment is certainly not a certainty, but we're probably more vulnerable to it than we realize. And that's why I encourage people to take this little assessment on the website.
Tim Irwin is the author of the book Derailed, Five Lessons Learned from Catastrophic Failures of Leadership. I assume they can find it in all the normal places?
They can. They can also go to the website, derailedleader.com, and there's some links to some of the retailers there. But all the retailers and the .com bookstores are selling it.
And you can also take that assessment to see if you're on the path. Tim, thanks so much. Always a great pleasure talking to you.
Jay, thank you so much. Great being with you.